How can you love someone, uniquely love someone in a way that they feel loved, they feel cared for, they feel affection? Well, there is a way, and I'm going to tell you about it today on The Bravehearted Woman. Hey, beautiful Bravehearts, it's Dawn Damon, Braveheart mentor and vision architect, and this is the Bravehearted Woman podcast. Here we talk all things mindset, health, goals, dreams, and habits for midlife women so we can design the second half of life as the best half of life. I know how scary it can be to arrive at midlife and find yourself stuck and unfulfilled. It's difficult to take brave steps that lead to transformation, but I've done it and you can too. Now I'm here to help you ignite the flame of your imagination so you can see what's possible. You can reach your goals and achieve all your dreams. Are you ready? Come on, let's get brave. Hi, all you beautiful, brave-hearted women. How fun is it that we get to do this on a regular basis? I get to communicate with you. I would love it if you would communicate with me. Today, we're going to talk about love. L-O-V-E, love. They say love is a verb. It is action. And we are going to look at the five love languages. But before we get into that, do me a favor. Will you just hit the subscribe button so that you don't ever miss an episode? But also, it communicates to the algorithms or the powers that be that you appreciate communication by women for women, and especially faith-based communication. So, Bravehearts, you ready? Five love languages. Do you know there really is a way to love someone according to their need that communicates in a unique way for them? I am loving you in a way that fills your love tank. You feel it deeply. It's significant to you. I'm communicating affection and care because I have learned your primary love language. Do you know that you have a primary love language? I know what mine is. My husband has a primary love language. My three children, they each have a different love language. My mom, my sisters, all the people in your world, whatever the relationship is that you have with them, they have a primary love language. And you can learn how to speak their language. You can communicate in a way that's significant to them, and it deepens your connection in really wonderful, tremendous ways. So Gary Chapman is the guy who developed this, and he identified five primary love languages. This is distinct ways that people give love and also the way that they receive love. We're going to look at those today. First of all, words of affirmation. Let me give you all five of them, and then I'll back up and I'll share a little bit about each one. So the five are words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. So understanding all these languages, what they look like, what maybe to avoid, will really help you communicate love in a way that your partner, your child, your friend, whoever truly feels it, and they appreciate you all the more for your willingness to learn about them, know them, and then meet that need in them. So words of affirmation. This is probably self-explanatory, but it is expressing affection through spoken words, through praise, through compliments, and it shows appreciation of the other person. So this is a language that some people, when they hear these words of affirmation, it's like you're pouring beautiful water onto a dry, parched plant, and it's just sucking it all up. You can tell when someone's love language is words of affirmation. It's like, tell me more, tell me more. So when you have someone in your life and you know that this is their love language, be specific, but be sincere. Okay. General praise, that can feel kind of hollow and almost like you're patronizing them. So instead of just, you know, yeah, good job, or, you know, I love you, Be specific. I'm so proud of you for the way you handled yourself in that meeting today. You're really brilliant when it comes to this or that. And do this frequently. Don't hold back. Use supportive phrases and confirmations and affirmations to them on a regular basis. Maybe just as easy as saying, "You've got this," or "I believe in you" when they're going through a tough time. Build their confidence. I'm not saying you have to lavish the person all of the time, but if you know that this is their love language, you don't want to withhold words of affirmation. You can give daily appreciation in small bits. Just thank you for making dinner, or I love the way you look today. That color is amazing on you. That will fill their love tank. It doesn't take a lot. You can even do a written note, leaving a sticky note somewhere on the mirror, sending a midday thinking of you text. But the words of affirmation are not just you expressing that you love them, it's you expressing your confidence in them, your belief in them, or your appreciation for them, for what they're doing, and how you're proud of them. This is very impactful for them. Something to avoid: non-constructive criticism. This hits hard for a person whose love language is words of affirmation. Criticism can be really wounding to them. Harsh words, insults, demeaning comments. They take it very deeply, very personal. It can be very devastating and leave a lasting impression, will actually make them pull away from you, make you seem unsafe to them. They might not even open up with confidential information or use you as a sounding block. And again, silence is even worse sometimes. Forgetting to express appreciation at all, or neglecting to say, "I love you," or "I'm proud of you," can really hurt individuals, and they will feel ignored and unloved in ways that maybe someone else wouldn't because it's not their love language. All right, number two, acts of service. Doing helpful and thoughtful things for someone, like maybe chores or making a special meal, running some errands. This is a way you can communicate your love to someone when their love language is acts of service. For them, actions speak louder than words. You could tell them, "I love you," but they don't feel it, not like they would if you do something for them. So for these individuals, love is felt when someone takes the initiative to do something special, something that lightens their load, helps them out when you see that they're overwhelmed or you want to make their day easier for them. They really feel the love and appreciation. Now, acts of service is not about being a maid. It's not about servitude. It's not about earning your way, but it is just noticing your partner or your child or whoever, that they respond well, that they feel your love and support and understand that you are going out of your way, which fills their love tank when they don't have to ask you for help. That's the key, that you're helping them without them begging, that you notice it, you see it, and you love them enough to do something for them. So whether it's daily tasks around the house, whether that is a morning ritual that you wake up early to make coffee, or you make breakfast just how they like it, or perhaps you run an errand for them, you say, "You know, I can take that off your plate for you today." Maybe supportive gestures, bringing them a snack during the day, or sometimes bringing a special lunch to your child at school, picking up the kids for your spouse. These are all ways, planning, taking the initiative, or even full responsibility. Say, "I'm going to organize the vacation. I'll handle the date night or the surprise birthday party. I'll take the kids to the basketball game." Sometimes these acts of service, they can be difficult for you to go out of your way to do it, especially if you both have the same love language of acts of service. Then you have to take turns doing for each other. But One thing to avoid if your partner or whoever you're trying to love, if their love language is acts of service, be really careful not to break your promises. If you say you're going to do something, follow through. If they don't know it's coming, then they don't know it's coming. But you don't want to break your promise. And if you don't do anything for them, they may tend to think that you're lazy, and that laziness can feel really deep for them. They can really feel hurt by that because, again, when it's your love language, you feel things more profoundly than someone else would. So, following through is a major way to show that you care. Number three, receiving gifts. Okay, I admit it. This is my love language. I didn't know this was my love language for so long, first of all, because I never got gifts in my first life. I never got even Mother's Day gifts, barely a birthday card. It just wasn't important to my spouse. And so I didn't get those things. So I just learned never to expect them. But how I noticed that it was my love language was when I learned about Amazon, and I found myself ordering things subconsciously. I didn't realize it. When I'd come home and I'd see a package in the driveway, I got so excited. I'm like, it's a gift. It's a gift. It's something for me. I'm like, yeah, you ordered it for yourself. But I would forget, and I would be so excited that something was there for me. But when I got married to my amazing husband, he brings me flowers. He brings me gifts. And it's amazing. It's an amazing demonstration of his love for me. I know he had to go out of his way or think about me to do that. But it isn't just, I love wrapping paper. I love bows. I love the way stuff is packaged. I could just stare at the box. It just communicates love for me. It is a visual symbol of love. And that's what receiving gifts is. It's really not about what's in the box. It's he was thinking about me. She was thinking about me. She remembered that I like this. They went out of their way to find this. We have one son who's very much a gift giver, and he doesn't want to just get you whatever. He wants to get something that's very significant for you. And it's the way he communicates love to us. So I believe that one of his love languages is probably gift giving too, or gift receiving. The price tag does not matter as much as the sentimental value. That's the point. It's the effort involved. So examples of this, receiving gifts in action, pick up the just because item. Sometimes I'll get flowers and I go, what's today? He goes, it's just because. Picking up a favorite candy bar when you're at the grocery store, or a specific magazine that you know that someone loves because you saw it and you thought of them, or handmade tokens. This can be very meaningful. A curated playlist of music that they love, a handwritten letter, a framed photo of a special memory that you shared with that person can communicate love. And souvenirs. Or even a rescue gift, bringing somebody a cup of warm coffee because you know they've had a long, stressful day. Milestone marking, remembering anniversaries, birthdays, Mother's Day, Father's Day, or this is the day that we met gift. Feeling love through thoughtful, tangible presence, big or small, is a primary love language. I feel love when you give me a gift. And I love giving gifts. All right, quality time. Giving someone focused attention, undivided attention. It's about presence, not presence that we just talked about. It's about your presence, not gifts, not doing things for me, not giving me kind words. Quality time is just being with me. The core meaning here is undivided attention. Not sitting next to me scrolling on your phone, not reading a magazine, not something that would take your attention away. It's sitting with your partner, your child, whoever. We have a grandson whose primary love language is quality time. It's sitting next to me, or sometimes looking right in my eyes, talking to me. It's undivided uninterrupted, uncontested time, no distractions, where we're sharing a meaningful conversation, we're talking, or we're watching a movie together. So let's talk about the two dialects of this love language. Dr. Chapman identifies two main ways that you can practice quality time. And I just hinted about one. One is quality conversation. And it doesn't have to take long. It's quality, not quantity. It involves sympathetic, deep dialogue where you share experiences. You're really communicating on a deep level. This happens for my husband and I when we sit in a hot tub, when it's just the two of us. It's active listening. We're communicating. We're nodding. We're gesturing. We're maintaining eye contact. We're asking follow-up questions. And maybe it's only 10 minutes, but we're listening, and we're listening to understand, not to say the next thing. We're not trying to fix anything. We're just giving each other space. We're holding space for one another to pour out our heart. And so that's a quality conversation. That's one way. But another way is quality activities. And this is very often someone's love language. I want you to ride a bike with me. I want you to go golfing with me. I want you to sit here and watch this movie with me. I want you to be in the kitchen and let's make dinner together. And it is secondary to the connection. It doesn't matter what we're doing necessarily. It just means we're together. And again, remember, it's quality over quantity. Even just a focused 15 minutes sometimes fills this love tank. An evening huddle. Let's just connect. Let's just spend a few minutes. Let's just catch up on the day. Let's just sit here and sip on this tea and talk with one another. So just some examples of quality time, daily rituals together. Again, our morning coffee or your evening tea, perhaps with no phones, no newspaper, no interruptions, not watching the news and the weather. And again, those for the activities, the shared hobbies, doing something together. Maybe you take a cooking class together. That would just not fill my love tank at all. That would just be like a fight in the making, I think. Playing games, maybe a do-it-yourself project, like I said, just something that you're doing together, an intentional date, going out to dinner, active engagement, simply sitting together, talking about future goals or your vision or life's challenge, just being together. And then finally, the fifth love language is called physical touch, meaningful touch. And again, those two dialects, it can be intimate touch, but more often it's just physical, loving, nurturing touch, appropriate touch, such as hugs or holding hands, cuddling if it's your partner, or even if it's your child and they just want to snuggle with mom for a while, your grandchild. I have a grandson whose love language is clearly physical touch, and he'll nuzzle up next to you so you can scratch his back or rub his head. He's always giving hugs, and I can identify that love is communicated to him with a pat, a squeeze, a hug, a pinch. Sometimes he doesn't even mind wrestling. He just likes the physical contact, and it's spontaneous touches throughout the day. For your spouse, I believe this is my husband's as well. He nudges up to it. He grabs my hand. He pats my foot. He squeezes my arm. He kisses my cheek. It's just a way that he feels connected to me and shows his love. But more importantly, if I do it to him, because he receives love that way. So if I scratch his back or squeeze his shoulders or hug him, come up from behind and just nuzzle him a little bit, the casual everyday touch he loves. A hand on the shoulder, brushing his hair out of his face maybe, a gentle squeeze, you get the idea. So these things communicate love to a person who their primary love language, the way their tank gets filled, is through those physical touches. I remember when we were doing some studying about marriage counseling, and we learned by the John Gottman Institute, he calls them bids for attention, and he could predict couples that would end in divorce when one of the spouses would make a bid for attention, whether that was a joke or a touching of the hand or reaching out or a squeeze, and it was not reciprocated. The spouse didn't pick up on it or said, "What are you doing?" or whatever. No warm greeting, no warm farewell. He could say that couple is headed for trouble. I think that a warm greeting and a farewell is always appropriate when you see your spouse specifically or your child, but this significant person in your life, whatever you're doing, you warmly greet them, a hug, a kiss if appropriate, and a goodbye. Always the goodbye, the I love you, the kiss, the squeeze. And again, cuddling, snuggling, soothing touch, a back rub, a foot massage after a stressful day especially says, I love you, I care about you, I just want you to feel close to me right now. I'll just sit close to you. I'll just sit on you. Spontaneous affection. And that is one way that your spouse could say, wow, why does this matter? Well, physical touch, especially, you guys know that it releases that hormone called oxytocin. It's the love hormone. And it reduces stress, it lowers blood pressure, it fosters a sense of security and belonging. It's the same hormone that's excreted when a mother nurses her baby. So it's not necessarily sexual at all. It's a nurturing, loving hormone that is released, and it just bonds you. They call it the bonding hormone. And I definitely see that at work. When a person's love language is also physical touch, it's their way of bonding. It releases that hormone for them, and they'll feel extra close to you. So you might be saying today, well, Dawn, how do I identify my love language? Well, I would say go online and find that quiz. You can take the quiz, but you can also just be a student. Begin to watch. Just say, to identify my love language, what makes me light up? Reflect on what naturally gives you a rush, what makes you feel, oh, that warm fuzzy, or what makes you feel appreciated or brings tears to your eyes. It's probably your love language. Is it words of affirmation? Do you look in the card for not what was printed, but what was written? You're probably affirmation, words of affirmation. When you come home, do you look around and see if some chores were done? Or when you walk in and you see the kids did the dishes, do you feel like you want to cry? Probably your love language. Or are you like me, when you see a package, do you get all delighted and like, oh, and everything in you, that dopamine buzz? Well, it might be your love language. Or do you just feel this sense of love and you just cherish the moments where you can just sit next to someone, hold their hand, sit in a movie, you don't even have to exchange words, but you're holding your lover's hand. Maybe that is your love language, just quality time or quality conversation. Like, he listened to me, our eyes were connected, nobody interrupted, it was so good. And I can think of so many people that I know. Quality conversation is their love language. And what do you get from others? If you're trying to figure out what their love language is, what do they ask you for? What do they mention? What do you see in them? What do you ask for from someone? Pay attention to your feelings, not only in the past, but in the present. And maybe even visualize yourself and say, what lights me up? But again, you can go online and you can search Gary Chapman and the Love Language Quiz. I used to give those quizzes out, so I know that they are available. All right, so February is the month of love, but you don't have to wait to February to show someone you love them. You can love them all day long once you figure out how they really feel loved. And I hope that you'll do it. You know, on another thought, sometimes we find it difficult to love others when we, in fact, haven't learned to love ourselves. Now, I'm not being cliche here, but I'm really offering an honest reflection. Are you loving yourself? Are you caring for yourself? Well, I want to tell you that I have a course that's available. It is the Live Brave Transformation Course. We'll talk about identity and self-worth. We talk about how to love yourself. We talk about how to give yourself quality time and allow yourself to dream and have a vision to set boundaries and live according to your core values. These things, when you put them in place in your life, they are the stepping stones to success. You will live a life you love because you design it on purpose. You don't accidentally show up. Maybe you like your life, maybe you don't. Why leave it for chance? I invite you to check out my course. It's priced exactly right to give you the benefit that you need. I want you to stop by. The link is in the notes. Braveheartedwoman.com/transformation. Check it out today. This is Dawn Damon. I'm leaving you, but not forever, just for now, just like I always do. Find your brave and live your dreams.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with me today and igniting your brave. Trust me, you'll never be the same. Now, for my free gift, make sure you click the link in our show notes. And to find out more about me, my books, or my amazing coaching course, visit braveheartedwoman.com. If you found help in this podcast, please like it, follow, and review me. It helps get the word out and up those algorithms so more amazing Bravehearts can find this message. You can also share it on your social media platforms or with someone you know who can really benefit. You can find my latest book, The Making of a Brave-Hearted Woman: Courage, Confidence, and Vision in Midlife, on Amazon and all the usual suspects. All right, this is Dawn Damon, as always, saying, find your brave and live your dreams.